gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, happy Monday, everybody. Well, that was a cluster of a way to start a week, for God's sake.
It certainly
if
was.
If anyone caught the top of the hour on Current. Here's what we love about radio people. They don't give a about TV.
No.
Someone called, I was hoping we could test the tones right now.
that was, the people in Denver. Good morning, Denver.
I was over here with my thumb.
City by the Bay.
Yeah.
Oh, we're on the TV. Why, hello. Oh, look. Yeah, not since the engineer was crawling around underneath me all morning. One show was that. Have I been so respected? Why can't I get the respect I'm entitled to around here in Radio Land?
You give me the respect that I'm entitled to?
I'm guessing they're not one of my fans.
No.
All right. A big week. It's recall day in Wisconsin, Governor Wanker.
Tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow. I'm getting to that.
Okay.
Get a sentence out. Okay.
Supposedly he's ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go to. By the way, if you want to help recall Walker, even if you don't live in Wisconsin, they have a great thing up at current.com/Wisconsin.
Yep.
Give you some ideas of how you can help.
And we put a link to it up on your Facebook page as
thank
well.
Thank you. Turnout. By the way, Jim, here's the silver lining. Even if he doesn't get recalled, there's a good chance he'd be going to prison. We'll talk about that later.
Skip
do you know
recall,
what they do
Jeff?
To soft, bald, overweight Republicans in prison?
He's not bald. I'll give him that.
A little bit. A little patch in the back.
Yeah. He's soft.
He will be by the time he gets there from stress, I'm guessing.
His dance card is going to be full. You got a real pretty
are those,
mouth.
Are those public workers that work at the prisons? I think so.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, they're state workers.
They might be unionized.
State workers get cranky when they get their pensions taken away.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Just saying.
We're not saying.
Did you get that, Newsbusters?
I'll get to that. That's why it's another big day. I might as well get to it now. We made Newsbusters.
Yes.
Thank you, Newsbusters.
The Vaseline fans over at Newsbusters.
Carl Frisch sent this along, and I'm like, they take our bait every time.
Yeah, they do.
They're just big, wide-mouth, right-wing bass. All right, let's just go. Tim Graham. I think Tim Graham wants to date me and kiss me. He knocks the books out of my hands almost every week.
Tim Graham is a part of Right Wing World next hour with
awesome.
Eric Bollert.
Awesome. See, I'm returning the publicity. Love you, Tim. Okay. Here's the thing. Oh, this is their byline. Newsbusters exposing and combating liberal media bias.
So
they suss out liberal bias here in liberal radio.
Boy, that's a...
And on Current TV.
They're certainly perceptive.
All right, Columbo.
Hey, turns out Al Gore's station has a point of view. Huh? Just saying.
Okay. All right. Here's the thing that strikes me, Chris, when we make Newsbusters.
Uh-huh.
Is because they very helpfully post the transcript. And
sure.
I'm like, hey, that was really funny.
It was.
That's great. Thanks for... okay, so the headline is, on Stephanie Miller Show, they joke about Fox making anti-Obama fetish porn. Steve Doocy with Vaseline. Yeah. Liberal radio host, and they just, that's an indictment right away.
Liberal.
Yeah.
They drew out the L in liberal.
Yeah, because I'm scared of that word, which is why I named my tour that. Liberal. Liberal radio host Stephanie Miller was predictably whacking away at Fox News on Thursday.
Yes.
That's my bag, baby.
I mean, they gave us such great ammunition. How could we not?
That's what I do.
Yeah, it would.
From her, I like this, from her tiny bunker. On the current cable network and liberal talk radio. Are they referring to Mini Jim, to the teeny tiny Jim Ward?
Well, we fixed that with the fourth camera.
And a better chair.
Yes.
this is quoting me. Wow, so Fox and Friends airs essentially what's a four-minute free anti-Obama ad as if it's a news piece, right? Democratic consultant slash gay activist Carl Frisch. I just love that. Everybody that's gay apparently is really actively gay, according to Newsbusters.
Yes.
He doesn't. He's just a Democratic consultant. He's not who happens to be gay. But they always call him
activist.
Homosexual activist. Which makes him sound like a gay, but like in a dance belt, 24/7, just really active.
I dare say that Tim Graham is actively douchebaggy.
Yes, actively so.
Just saying. Some people say
activist douchebag Tim Graham.
Some people say.
Okay, had to make it porny. I'm not even sure that's a word, but okay.
Porny is not a word.
Now quoting Carl Frisch, the value of airing such a commercial was calculated at about $100,000. But this is really not the story. I mean, the real story is the shortage of personal lubricant in New York City as a result of this ad, because it really just amounts to anti-Obama fetish porn. Which is very funny. And now that I'm reading it again, I'm like, oh, that was really funny.
I'll bet you one or two people rubbed one out to it.
Miller's sidekick, Chris LaVoy, joked, might we say Astroglide, which is the official personal lubricant of the Stephanie Miller Show.
I was just
which
trying
was
to...
not a joke. That was a statement of fact.
It's, yes. I mean,
they once sent us how many boxes? Of,
a big bag of swag.
Right. Well,
I mean,
yeah.
Of course you're going to be the personal lubricant of it. Yeah.
Got a t-shirt.
That you wore quite a lot to spinning class.
Yes, and I've had an elderly gentleman or two ask me, what is that? Astroglide.
Oh, it's something the astronauts used to use in space.
Yeah, I got to go now.
Yeah, it's complicated.
Frisch then doubled down. I was surprised when they came back from the spot on Fox and Friends. Steve Doocy was holding a jar of Vaseline. Once again, I thought that was funny because it was anti-Obama porn.
Notice that.
All right, thank you, Newsbusters.
Yeah. Notice that they didn't take issue with the issue at hand, which was the 4-minute-long anti-Obama commercial. They took issue with the use of Vaseline.
Yes.
Yeah, they had no mention about the topic.
All right. They prefer a different lubricant, perhaps, and we apologize.
Maybe we should get Astroglide to send Newsbusters a big bag of swag.
Please enjoy the personal lubricant. Oh, dear. All right. And the other big news, I'm going to a live pro-Obama ad. It's the big week. I meet the president. It's the big fundraiser here in L.A. with Pink. And Ellen DeGeneres has just been added.
Hopefully
Wednesday.
Pink will recover in time.
I know. I saw that. Yeah. I was like, you better...
She was in the hospital.
You better raise
your
glass. Yeah, she was in for a stomach flu.
Yeah.
She may have ulcers. She thinks she might.
That's,
she's had ulcers.
So what?
Before.
She's still a rock star.
But,
See what I did there?
You can't get fancy or dancy with ulcers.
No, no. We wish her well because I paid them off for that ticket. I'm raising a damn glass if it kills me. All right. So that's... And by the way, do you know what the amount I paid to sit in traffic for what will probably be several days? Because, you know, when the president's in town anyway. But now I've got to go to where the president's going to be on Wednesday.
God.
So I better leave now. It's Wednesday evening. I have to leave now, I think.
Yeah.
All right. So Ari Berman also coming up with news about Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the good news there is thank God for the Justice Department, and I believe every single election supervisor has suspended this voter purge.
Yep, good.
So we will check in on all of that. Eric Bowler joins us to co-host Right Wing World. All right, so I called you yesterday.
You did?
Actually, I called you several times over the weekend.
You kind of did.
Which I know you enjoy.
Yeah, but it's awesome.
Why, Jim? Mm-hmm. Because, once again, David Gregory was making my head explode. I sometimes have to vent during Meet the Press.
Yeah.
I just can't get that image of him dancing with Karl Rove on stage
out
of my head.
I know.
Good.
No, and I was trying to be fair, too. I said, look, he should do it to either side. I'm like, shouldn't you have some basic preparation when you know what the topic's going to be, that when they roll out a new talking point, you have some sort of facts to dispute it either way?
Right.
So, because I was like, we've heard over and over again, and you know why? Because it's true. That he was 47th out of 50 states.
That's right.
In job creation, that is just a fact.
The only states lower than him were affected by Katrina.
Actually, one.
One. Oh.
Yeah, and then the other two in the Rust Belt.
Oh, well then, okay.
Whatever. See, I've done my research.
You
see what I did there? I refuted someone on my own show.
I obviously didn't do my research.
See? Anyway, so obviously you can tell, Jim, when they, particularly when it's on the same show, when they've rolled out a new strategy or talking point, because John Kasich said it, and then who's
it appears on all three or four.
Yeah,
Sunday
and then Mitt
shows.
Romney's
verbatim.
Guy
yeah,
said
yeah.
it that he wasn't 47th, he was blah 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 blah, and they obfuscate the numbers, like, you know.
They do what to the numbers?
Obfuscate. I shouldn't have tried that one.
No.
The point is,
you obfuscated that.
They
word.
Tried to obscure the true facts by, you know,
obfuscate.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, okay, obscure, but then yeah. All right. My point is, they go out there, and I was like, wow, this smells bull.
Bull crappy?
Yeah, it smells a little bull. And sure enough, it was. Because I'm going, well, both of those things
47.
Can't be true. No, he wasn't 47. He was blah, 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 blah.
He was 46.
Oh, when he took over, we were 51st. And then by the time he left, we were 30. And I'm going, wait a minute. This can't all be true. And David Gregory just lets it sit there.
Yep.
Just like,
we'll
oh,
have to leave it there.
There's two sides to everything. We'll leave it there.
Math has two sides.
There's not two sides to facts.
Because you had, I think, whoever was on the Democratic side saying he was 47th out of 50. I mean, that is fair game. That's his record. Anybody knows his record was not good. He left a mountain of debt.
He was near.
And he was 47th in job. I mean, that's the thing. Chris, you were saying, well, we'll get into. This is what they do. It's they try to, like, oh, well, the first year this, and then you can't have that, and if you do this. It's like, no, give me a break. This is, and then so I, sure enough, went to Media Matters. During Mitt Romney's term as Massachusetts governor, the state ranked as one of the worst in the nation in terms of job creation. This is just the whole thing he's running on is job creation.
Right.
And by the way, he tried this whole play when he ran for governor of Massachusetts. Oh, because of my business experience at Bain, I'm going to blah, 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 blah. So this couldn't be more relevant to this campaign. ABC and NBC Sunday shows allowed Romney's campaign surrogates to obscure that record using a new talking point that Romney ended his term with Massachusetts ranked in the middle of the pack. Well, first of all, you're responsible for all 4 years that you were in.
That's right.
Right? I mean, it's like that's you take the average. It's like they, by the way, and we'll even get to the numbers by the fourth year, we're not great. They were like a little better, but then you go, well, if you average that out, anyway, it's just a load of. And I'll tell you all the details of that particular load as we continue. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
From a location midway between the loudspeakers. This sequence is repeated several times.
Oh! Nice. Okay. 23 minutes after the hour. I won't say what that sounds like. 1-800-STEP-12, the more roughage. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Rock, yeah, we're rocking it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we got it. Let's go to Randy in Seattle. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Randy.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, well, listen, you know, I find this, you know, the word liberal and how the conservative use it as a dirty word, it just really bothers me. And I think, and I'm not in the name calling, but you know.
Me too, Randy. That's why I called it Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, just to make them even more pissed.
Well, you know, I think when we talk about conservative, we should use the word fascism as well, because agenda is, they satisfy all 14 points of a fascist agenda. And this myth about the media being liberal, how can it be liberal when six corporations own all the media outlets and they primarily give to the right wing nuts of the country?
Yeah.
That's what I don't understand.
Well, that's what I'm sort of saying about that drives me crazy about Meet the Press and these other shows. And Jim, I'm trying to be fair to him. I'm saying do it to Democrats too if they stated incorrect. There can't be two sets of numbers or facts. I mean, And if David Gregory knows that he's going to be talking about Mitt Romney's record in Massachusetts,
he should probably study up on it.
Yeah. Have some basics. So when they're always completely unprepared for a new. I mean, he let Michelle Bachmann talk like 20 minutes of straight.
Yeah.
I mean, just completely incorrect facts without even saying, well, that's just incorrect. I mean,
we'll have to leave it there.
All right, Sherry in California, on a more important topic. Hi, Sherry.
Hi.
Hi.
I have something for you this morning.
What's that?
Because we're singing that song, and I have a card that I open up, and it goes like this.
Thank you. It's the Snoopy dance, and we appreciate it. Thank
we were doing that during the break.
During the break. Thank you, Sherry. Okay, all right. Snoopy dances. Here it is. All you really need is the Google these days, Chris. You don't even need to be a good producer. I'm not casting any aspersions on any present company. I'm talking, of course, to the producers of Meet the Press, for instance.
Oh, okay. Thank God I don't work for them.
Why, looky here. Where is this? Some Boston Globe. Labor Department figures show Massachusetts ranked 47th among the states in the rate of job growth in those 4 years.
Yep.
Ahead of only Ohio, Michigan, and Louisiana, which was hit by Hurricane Katrina.
What does the Labor Department know about that?
See, this is how they're going to try to just obscure the facts. So Media Matters pointing out, Romney campaign surrogates argue Massachusetts went from 51st to 30th in job creation. I mean, most normal people go, here's somebody's record of the 4 years, and here's what happened. You know, you can't. Okay. So Ed Gillespie said Massachusetts was 51st in job creation when Romney took over. During an interview on Fox, I love this. The only person that challenged it to anything was Chris Wallace on Fox News.
Yeah.
Which I was like, huh? So Ed Gillespie argued, Massachusetts went from being ranked last in job creation to number 30. For his part, host Chris Wallace disputed those numbers. There is something that's gone awry. Only when, someone on Fox News.
When Chris Wallace is seeming more fair than someone on NBC.
And you can tell this is why he probably has the lowest ratings on Fox News. Because, noting that over the 4 years, it was 47th. There's no question about that. So, and here's the actual transcript. Gillespie, the first year it was 50th in job. When he took office, it was number 50 in job creation. No, actually 51 if you count the District of Columbia. Gillespie said he ended his term in office, his 4 years in office, it was number 30. So he moved it dramatically, Wallace. But over the 4 years, it was 47th. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
The only network, even David Gregory, George Stephanopoulos didn't do it.
Wow.
Kasich did it. Romney advisor Kevin Madden, that was the guy on, and then what's his name? Etch-a-Sketch, Eric Fernstrom.
Mm-hmm.
So you could just, you can tell when the talking point is going out, they all said it almost exactly the same.
Yep.
The Boston Globe. Oh, here's another headline. In Romney's last full year in office, Massachusetts crops grew by 1.06%, 32nd in the nation.
Wow.
So, they're saying, oh, well, like, his last year was so spectacular, it averaged out what happened in the, it's like, what? Huh? Yeah, the claim that Massachusetts under Romney ranked 47th out of 50 states in job growth is true, and the Romney campaign has not disputed its accuracy. If the District of Columbia is included, Massachusetts' rank was 48th. Over the four-year period, 2003 to 2006, Massachusetts jobs grew by 1.26%, well behind the national median of 4.84%.
So it wasn't 47th. Yay!
So no matter how you spin it, it was a crappy record on job creation. One economist quoted here, argued Romney's frequent argument that unemployment dropped during his tenure is a false indicator. He also stated the unemployment rate fell only because people were leaving the workforce in droves during Romney's term. So, I mean, it's just...
And more importantly, nothing he's proposing to do as president is going to improve jobs.
Right.
If anything, it'll make it worse.
Yes, exactly. Let's go to Sharon real quick in Massachusetts. Hello, Sharon.
Hi. I'm just wondering, what is going on with our Democratic buddies here? Do they all go brain dead when they get on Meet the Press?
I actually thought the Democrats were good. It was that Gregory was not challenging anything the Republicans said. That he just lets them put their own numbers out, and okay, fair enough.
And he was so quiet all the time I was watching. I was going to say, when is he going to jump in?
Right. The only time.
This is your turn.
The only time, Sharon, is he did jump in on Kasich when he talked about, you know, they can't have it both ways. Like, oh, look at how great the job numbers are in Ohio, and it's all me. And he said, well, you're not bringing out the auto rescue, which
right.
is the main reason. So that was the only thing that David Gregory challenged Kasich on. But, we'll get back with more of that as we continue. 29 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I wouldn't want no policeman to catch me without no petticoat.
No policeman. How about a nice fireman, huh?
Wow. When's the last time you wore a petticoat?
Yeah.
Just this weekend. It is the Stephanie Miller. I'm wearing one to meet the president this week. 34 minutes.
You can't
I'm practicing my curtsy.
You can't get fancy or dancy in a petticoat.
All right. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, would you like some actual facts? This is how you can tell the difference between us and Meet the Press. Well, that and fart jokes. However.
And slide whistle.
Yeah. David Gregory needs more facts and slide whistle. I was going insane because he was just letting one Romney surrogate after another try to say, oh, no, he wasn't 47th out of 50th in job creation in Massachusetts. Yes, he was. You take anybody's four-year term. So Romney's term, 2003 to 2006, Massachusetts jobs grew by 1.26%, which we were saying was well behind the national median of 4.84%. So anyway, but the previous governor, what was her name? oh boy, Swift, Jane Swift,
okay,
was the previous governor. The national rank during her four-year term was 35th. In Romney's four-year term, it was 47th.
Right.
How else do you spin that?
That's worse.
Yes. From one governor's four-year term to the next, Massachusetts ranking, national ranking dropped 13 spots. So it just was a load of crap. They just were like, oh, things went great under Romney. He took over, you know, at this, and then he ended up at that. And okay. All right. I don't even know how many ways to say it. So John Kasich, I mean, and that was the other thing that I was saying, at least Gregory called him on that he was, because this is what they're trying to do, these Republican governors. Oh, you know, the economy's terrible, the president's awful, but here it's great because of me. At least Gregory's like, the auto rescue was a big reason for the Ohio.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, here was the other thing he said. It's, you know, it's because the president hasn't led. We get things done here. You know, we get bipartisan things done here in Ohio. I love this part of this last line in the National Journal. Kasich did not know, however, that unlike the situation for Clinton and Obama, both chambers of the Ohio legislature are controlled by Republicans. Oh. Yeah. Gee, look how much I'm getting done with this. Yes. Oh. Oh. All right. Regis in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Regis.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi.
How are you today?
Good.
Good. First of all, I'd like to thank you for wearing the Detroit cap and showing that you recognize the support that we give you. You know, kudos to you and your crew.
Thank you, baby.
But I wanted to make a comment on George Zimmerman's bond being revoked.
Yeah, he's back in jail.
Yep.
Back in the joint. And they're trying to frame him as the victim. Come on. But at the same time, it lends itself to him and his wife's credibility.
Thank you.
In terms of their honesty and how they conspired to lie about their ability to pay. And the whole premise of the bond hearing was your ability to pay principle.
Well, Regis, you haven't even started the trial and the judge has already put you back in prison for lying, I mean, absolutely.
Right.
It goes to, you know, that obviously, and a lot of other facts already back up the fact that he's not telling the truth about what happened
night. So therefore, the only thing we had to base what happened with between him and Trayvon is based off of what he said. And you see that his character is in question. And also, they should need to consider bringing his wife in and let her answer the questions why she lied under oath.
Regis, the other stuff that came out last week was just, you know, more sort of, you know, evidence about how buddy-buddy he was with the police department, that they absolutely just went, oh, okay, George, is that what happened? Good night.
Yeah, he was parading around the station like he was a part of the staff, you know. But, you know, America is good, I believe, and I believe that the truth will prevail, and I'd like to thank you and other media outlets that bring these things to the light. And going back to Mitt Romney, with him and the whole job thing in Massachusetts, he made a comment on one television program. He stated that the only reason he wasn't more successful is because he has opposing legislators.
There you go.
So what do you think is going on?
That's what I mean. They keep saying you can't have it both ways, Regis. You say, oh, the president's got to stop blaming Congress. And what does Mitt Romney do? Oh, it's because all these Democrats I had to work with.
Yeah.
Oh, please. And this is exactly what Kasich did. He was driving me crazy. And he looks like he wears eyeliner. Okay. He was saying...
Yeah, a lot of people on Twitter said that yesterday. What's up with
that? What's that about? I'm just saying.
Uh-oh.
I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
He forgot to clean up after the drag party.
Someone forgot.
Stephanie Miller Show has no information. John Kasich was at a drag party before Meet the Press. We're just saying.
You can it could remove, happen.
You can remove eyeliner with Vaseline.
Mm. Just saying.
Just saying.
I think there might have been some handy. Okay. yes, he blamed President Obama for blaming Congress for the weakening recovery, saying the White House had failed to lead. See how that works?
You ever have a governor who's an idiot?
What the president needs to do is come out and say how we will fix things. Oh, yeah, because he hasn't said anything about that or asked Congress to work with him on it. Yeah, he's been so silent on all that.
Yeah, here's this jobs program that I wish you'd vote for. Hello.
See, and there's another thing. Hello, David Gregory. Could you, some basic, if he's going to make a point like that about his record in Ohio and that he got all this stuff done in bipartisan, well, you might want to point out that there's no bipartisan when both houses of the legislature are your own party.
Yeah. You know what? If Rachel were sitting on that panel, I don't think she would have let David Gregory get away with all this.
No.
Absolutely not.
No, that's probably why she wasn't sitting on that panel.
Probably.
Yeah, Kasich was responding to comments from Deval Patrick, the Democratic governor of Massachusetts, who echoed the White House and saying part of the blame goes to Congress for failing to pass the president's job proposals.
Yeah.
I was going to say, is that an opinion? No, that's just a fact.
And it's also a fact that many people on that side have said their sole goal is to prevent Obama from having a second term, no matter what it takes.
Yeah.
And that's one way you do it.
Patrick said we can't get Congress to act. That's the problem. What we have right now is a Congress that has decided there's a political advantage in stymieing the president.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Kasich, however, rejected those arguments, saying his policy and his work with the legislature in Ohio have helped boost job growth in his state. He also noted the auto bailout. Yeah, he also noted when he served in Congress, he worked with Bill Clinton to help turn a budget deficit to a surplus.
Once again, one time at band camp.
Right. But again, that's the point that we've all been trying to make, is this Congress is unprecedentedly obstructionist.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. Even back then, they at least came to the table to work with Bill Clinton. I mean, this is the problem. It's like you think you're making some point about it's the president's fault. Even Bill Clinton has made this point. He said, I'm the executive in Ohio. I can't blame the legislature for not getting things done. Kasich did not note, however, as I said before, that unlike the situation for Clinton and Obama, both chambers of the Ohio legislature
are Republican.
Yeah. Okay. See, I'm taking after that Republican guy. That's going to be our new thing now, is punching our papers that we don't like.
Oh.
All right.
Do you ever have a governor who's an idiot?
See, he's paraphrasing John Kasich about a... Was a trooper policeman that pulled him over?
Yeah,
okay. Daryl in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Daryl.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, go ahead.
Good. You know what? Actually, you guys just actually brought up the point that I was going to make. You know, if I was an Obama surrogate, I would take all of that tape that they just did on Meet the Press and basically just turn it around and say, well, how is it that Republicans, particularly Romney, gets to set a narrative to explain himself, whereas that everything is just my fault when I came in on the greatest recession that we've had in the country.
Well, that's what I mean, Daryl. There's no two sides to facts and numbers. I mean, it's just that's what kills me. It's like, I understand you can have an opinion about how to fix things or what works or what doesn't, but it just to let that go, like there's two sides to even math, is just... Yeah.
Sounds like you got something stuck in your craw.
Or you're on a bad phone.
Governor Bob McDonnell, Obama deserves some credit for helping Virginia economy. Well, he's off the short list for vice president.
Yeah.
What? You can't say that. He admitted Sunday morning President Obama, slight credit, though, for helping his state survive the economic crisis.
That's more than Obama's gotten from anyone in Congress.
Did it help us in the short run with health care and education spending to balance the budget?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I guess. Okay.
Does it help us in the long run to really cut the unemployment rate? I'd say no. McDonald, acknowledging his state has the lowest unemployment rate in the Southeast, said to just imagine, however, how much better we'd do if we had President Romney.
Huh?
Oh.
You have to imagine that, because that makes no sense at all.
All right, let's go to Charles in Santa Fe. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Charles.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Love your show.
Thank you. Love you.
Just commented on, I was a journalist for a long time. I did all of this in this newspaper, magazine, radio, and television. But when I watch these Sunday shows, where do they get their facts from, the Republicans? I mean, really, it's fiction to me, you know, like Alice in Wonderland. And they get away with it. Why do
I know, and then when I heard the second Republican say it, I'm like, the talking point's gone out.
Yeah.
And once again, you know, these anchors are caught, even Stuart and George Stephanopoulos, too, just caught flat-footed. Just okay. And Jim was saying, you know, Charles, I wonder if someone was in David Gregory's ear, like, don't challenge it, or we won't get any more bookings from the Romney camp, you know?
I can't imagine.
Yes. Well, you know, David Gregory is very irritating to me. That mocking smile of his is hard to take. You know, I got a real fast finger for the mute button.
Yeah, but, I think if Rachel Maddow was on that panel, we would have seen an old-fashioned hook. There would have actually been a...
Fashioned it with something, you know, to keep them. But then I called up the FCC and they said, they're just dumbing us down. And I said, that makes sense. You know, whatever happened to the fairness doctrine, you know, where you had to propose both sides, you know, and that the audience make a choice, you know.
Yeah.
But with this, they cram it down your throat.
Well, I mean, the thing I don't like is they're just making it sound like both sides have a point, and then people get understandably confused. I'm watching that going, really? Well, you know, I mean, if you're a normal person, you just go, there's two sides to Mitt Romney's record then. I guess, no, there's not. There's not.
No, but I think they do. They probably have preconditions to appearing on the show.
Yeah.
So, don't ask me this. Don't ask me that.
Yeah.
Don't
challenge
that.
when we have a talking
And when
point.
I say this, shut up.
You know what? If I wouldn't accept that as a producer. of one of those shows. I just wouldn't. I just go without the booking.
Yeah. Well, and that's why, you know, it's basically the three of us. All right.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Rude Pundit said. Rude Pundit gave conditions. I said, no.
No. You're gone then. All right, 45.
But he's rebooked for later on in the week.
He's going to be on later in the week. We kid. We kid. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's like a Mensa meeting with fart jokes. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
You know, this TV thing is inconvenient in the sense people can see the main reason I come to work is to shove food in my face and have you do my Apple tech support.
Yeah.
On my new iPad.
Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Set up your email account and blah, blah, blah.
The people that go to my PC and go to meeting, they sent me a lovely engraved one. Isn't that lovely?
Wow.
Please type Stephanie in the box, won't you, so I keep getting free tchotchkes.
You know what, though? Engraving it like that really reduces the resale value.
Oh, really? Well, I'm
Stephanie
well,
Miller.
Don't you know who I... All right, you're probably right.
Don't you know where I think I used to be?
How much that's going to go for? 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere, 50 minutes after the hour. Eric Bollert coming up, some more great stuff. Those people, it's like they work for me now. I called you right after Meet the Press. I'm like, why doesn't Media Matters have anything up about this bull from the Romney camp?
And then an hour or so later, they had a huge page full of opposition research up.
Thank you.
Yeah. They're good over there. Damn, they work fast.
Tell that guy that wants to be a dentist to get to work. Fact checking.
I want to be a dentist. I'd like to be a dentist.
Oh, by the way, here's an email from a fine American. Nathan, I talked about this on Friday. Here's the thing. Because of anybody with a Google, Chris, nobody should get away with this. There's producers in the control room. Our listeners fact check better than David Gregory does. Steph, my name's Nathan. I was the one who sent that tweet to Ed Schultz on his show Thursday night about the actual number of cases of voter fraud in Milwaukee in 2004.
Right.
Because he had someone on there talking blah, 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 the voter fraud, and this is why these are necessary, all these voter measures, blah, blah, blah. I tried to, blah, 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 but he says, so that his producers obviously checked it, and it got on the air immediately.
Sure.
You know, Ed came back and said, oh, well, we got the number, and it was seven. I believe it was seven. Let's see, blah, blah. Well, anyway, he goes on to say, my tweet to the show was basically to show that not everyone believes the lies that Republicans go on TV and tell the public. It took me literally 15 seconds to go online and check how many actual cases happened. I'm happy that the Ed Show and you are available for people like me. I'm proud that by fact-checking, I was able to make a difference in the nation. Keep up the good work. Nathan, thank you.
Apparently Wolf Blitzer doesn't have a computer.
Yes.
That's why he had to leave it there.
Well, he wouldn't have said Santorum Surge as many times as he did if he was acquainted with the Google.
You'd think...
He would not have said a Santorum Surge has led to a spurt in fundraising had he spent more time with Mr. Google.
You'd think sitting in a room called the Situation Room...
He would understand the Situation Room.
Yes, he would have things like that at his disposal.
He wouldn't have such a situation with Google.
Right. He'd have, like, you know, Minority Report screens ready. But I think Wolf might be a little old for that.
But I'm sure, you know, Ed's producers are probably already on that. But the fact that, you know, with new media, I mean, it was like, boom, tweet, came in, fact-checked it. You know, before the end of the segment, you're able to go, okay, the massive voter fraud, you're talking about seven. The seven cases. millions and millions. Let's go to Keith in Indianapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Keith.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Hey, just a comment. I was sitting here and happened to think that about 4 weeks ago when all the GOP pundits and amongst others were kind of on the president about this high price of gasoline.
Yeah.
You know, and it seems like, well, gee, it's down 82 a barrel this morning, down 20, and gas is down about 30 cents a gallon. But we're
Didn't Newt Gingrich have a whole like bunch of props and a whole set that had to do?
Worse, now that it's back down, worse the price of the president.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, try to sell that on eBay now. That'll get less than my engraved iPad. His little gasoline. Remember, he had a little like thing that sat next to him with gas prices, like a little.
That's right.
Yeah. Where's that now? In the half-off bin with Victor the Victory Elephant.
Where's your Messiah now?
Yeah. Lamont in Indiana. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Lamont.
Hey, Steph, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
All right. It seems like with the Democrats, since Obama took office, it's been all about the message. And since it seems like Obama has to do it himself, and Mr. Orange, John Boehner, always comes out and say, Mr. President, where are the jobs? That's how they won so much in 2010. Maybe Obama should come out with a slogan saying, Mr. Boehner, where's the help with the jobs?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Everybody can start seeing something. Number two.
It's your job to help with the jobs. Exactly.
Exactly. That's a better slogan. That's
yep,
good.
Exactly. People in Wisconsin are funny. There's some signs up in Wisconsin. Tim sends these along. Scott Walker, Governor Scott Walker, starring in Total Recall. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And somebody at the Four Winds Hotel has recalled the Coke sucker now. That's one of my people, because that was our.
Yeah. We got fans
David
there.
Coke and his friends, yeah. Okay, Derek in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Derek.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi.
We're talking about our lovely governor here in the state of Ohio. And
yes.
Over the weekend, our lovely Columbus Dispatch wrote a nice little article about how Governor Kasich is getting a lot of things done, even with all the the lack of support he's getting from the Tea Party. So his idea of bipartisanship is trying to work within the Tea Party, the Republican Party, to get things done. And it's really depressing. I mean,
and by the way, he has one of the worst approval ratings in the country. His union busting bill went down in flames, mm-hmm. You know, and he's talking about, oh, I'm getting all this done for the state of Ohio. It's like he has two houses of the legislature run by Republicans.
Right.
I mean, so it's just it's a load, and you've got to.
It's a pant load.
Yes, thank you. It's a doughy pant load,
mm-hmm.
Much like Jonah Goldberg. Okay,
yeah.
Friends. That was gratuitous.
It was.
Fran in Missouri, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Fran.
Hello. I'll tell you what, though, with Trump and Romney, don't they have to take care of each other and their cohorts? Because, you know, they're goodies in the Cayman Islands as well as the tax deductions,
yeah.
And all this kind of stuff. I mean, what are they going to do if they don't have that anymore?
Yeah. I read that Romney's main reason he wants to be president is I think his tax bill goes up by $5 million
yeah.
if President Obama sits in office.
God. Yeah. Actually, you know, if the Democrats would only have an ad out about Romney looking at hamburger when he did at that place and he said, oh, you have your food and paper?
Oh, yes. See, that seemed really quaint to him. He's never seen such a thing.
Your food and paper. That's,
is that how real people eat things that have paper?
Is that how little people eat? I had no idea.
Oh, my goodness. Our
help. Gosh. Yeah, apparently.
Our help would be fired immediately if there were paper anywhere near our.
Apparently, Romney's never stepped foot in a state fair.
Amuse-bouche does not come in paper.
Where are the golden plates?
Escargot not served in paper. Okay. Let's go to Sandra in Orlando. Hi, Sandra. Welcome.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I figured out who the real Mitt Romney is. Refer to the 1956 Kevin McCarthy movie, The Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Mm-hmm.
Mitt Romney is a pod person. And
you think
I would
so?
Check John Boehner's house and Paul Ryan's house and
yeah.
Mitch McConnell's house and see if the evidence is there.
Maybe he's part of the zombie apocalypse, Sandra. You never know.
I think this is where the Tea Party came from.
Yeah. You know what? He could very well end up chewing Rick Perry's face off on an off-ramp in Florida before the whole thing's over. He might just snap with the pressure. This campaign does not go well. Oh, by the way, because we have to get to that next hour, did you see, you know, he was standing in front of Solyndra last week?
Yep.
Oh, second Romney-backed solar company files for bankruptcy.
Oh.
I guess the president should go get a little speech there today.
Yeah.
One of those. Uh-oh, mittens.
Good
oh, well.
That.
58 minutes after the hour. Back with Eric Bollert from Media Matters, the co-host Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Monday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. To join us here on the radio/television broadcast on Current, speaking of awesome things on Current, Lori in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Lori.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Your fellow current co-worker and frequent guest David Schuster was a busy boy this weekend and really, really mixed things up in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard. He's the dreamy David Schuster, as we refer to him.
He's going
to
be on with us tomorrow to talk about all of this.
Oh, terrific.
Yes.
Walker's criminal troubles, correct?
Yes, yeah, David Schuster interviewed government lawyers familiar with the criminal probe, and Scott Walker is the target of the probe. That's a pretty bold statement for David to come out with.
You might want to think about that as you step into the voting booth tomorrow, Wisconsin.
Exactly. I'll tell you.
Okay, cheeseheads, you heard that. Yeah, we will talk to David Schuster tomorrow. Breaking investigative report, Scott had already suggested that Scott Walker is at the heart of the John Doe criminal corruption probe that charged six Walker associates with 15 felonies. The report discusses an email exchange between Walker and a longtime advisor over a contract that is under investigation for potential bid rigging.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying, you might want to think about that before you step in.
Seems there's some malfeasance up in your brainer.
Exactly.
From our state, but, you know,
all right, it's okay. You get the idea. All right, StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Like Blaine did, who is a conservative, fine American listener and listener. Steph, I'm a conservative that listens to your show via iHeartRadio. Thank you. I disagree with you about 100% of the time. Wow. That's not easy to do.
No. It's Monday. I disagree.
However, you guys are pretty funny, and I'd like to hear opposing viewpoints. Blah, 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 right-wing crap trap. P.S. I'm not saying Obama wasn't born in Hawaii, but if that was a typo in that book, why was it not addressed till now? Okay.
God.
All right.
It wasn't a book.
It was addressed. It was addressed when it came out when they said it was a typo at the time. All right.
Not a book. It was a pamphlet.
Aww. Wouldn't you like to be a birther, too?
I think Obama's Kenyan and I'm proud. I used to be alone in the crowd, but thanks to the internet, you see, I connect with idiots like me. Oh, I'm a birther, he's a birther, she's a birther, we're all birthers. Wouldn't you like to be a birther too? Be a birther, dream a birther Kool-Aid. Be a birther, take stupid further. Be a birther, scream bloody murder. Be a birther.
Yay! Rocky Mountain Mike.
Yay!
I agree that Obama was born in Hawaii. I disagree that that's part of the United
that's
States.
That's got to be a small subset of our listening and viewing audience. Birthers that disagree with 100% of what I say, but love the show. Thank you, Blaine. Thanks.
We like you as long as you say she's funny.
There you go. All right. One of our favorite times of the week, Monday. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard. Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world. I don't know what that means. Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Good morning.
I was telling Chris that I was doing what I normally do on the weekend, having my head explode watching David Gregory on Meet the Press. I called Chris and said, how come it's taking Media Matters so long to debunk these right? Because you guys are so used to this. You see, you hear a talking point. There it goes. You know, Romney was not 47th in job creation. You're like,
That's wrong.
right? And this is what you and I always talk about. It's like, you know, you expect things in the right-wing media, but there's David Gregor. He just lets it go. Just, you know, like there's two sides to math, right?
Right. And that's, you know, this is why Media Matters was created many years ago. So, we monitor the right-wing press and, you know, we keep tabs on that. And the problem is, over the years, that has spilled into the mainstream media, and it spills onto Meet the Press, and it spills into the Washington Post. And that is the danger. Look, you know, if it was just this self-contained bubble, this right-wing echo chamber, and they just sort of, you know, this fever swamp, and they whip each other into a frenzy, that's disturbing in itself, and we would still document it. The problem is it jumps the transom, and people start taking it seriously, and this stuff is made up.
And by the way, don't you love that apparently Romney's not responsible for the first year of his term, but Obama is to blame for all the job losses in the first year of his term that had nothing to do with George Bush, apparently, right?
Oh, not even the first year. I mean, you know, right. I mean, the Romney explanation of Massachusetts is, well, you know, I inherited this bad situation. Well, you don't say.
Yeah, you don't say.
you're not, you can't turn around a statewide economy in your first day in office. Gee, I wonder why Obama couldn't turn around a country, a nationwide
right.
economy.
But the fact
on his
remains,
first day in office.
As you guys so, you know, aptly pointed out, Eric, and we've been repeating, the fact remains in the previous 4-year term, the governor before him, they were 35th in job creation, they were 47th during the 4-year Romney term, period.
That's
end
better,
of
right?
End of sentence.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, if you're going to look at, you know, Romney's record in Massachusetts, there are some pretty straightforward facts about job creation and employment and things like that. Let's not take something as simple as adding up jobs under his four years and make that complicated or pretend there's a spin to it. You know, the numbers are what they are.
Yep. A great piece, as usual, this week. You just talked about, you know, I mean, really how off the rails the right wing has gone between Fox News, all the Breitbart bloggers. You said it seemed even fewer far-right voices of concern were raised on Wednesday when Fox decided to obliterate all journalism guidelines and actively campaign against Obama with the in-house production of a scathing attack ad. And you said, like I said, the guffaws just keep coming. I mean, they really have just dropped all pretense, right?
Yeah, and you know, I compared it to the infamous morning in July 2009 when Glenn Beck showed up on the Fox and Friends morning couch and announced that, you know, President Obama was a racist and hated white people. I mean, that was a moment that'll live in sort of Fox News and cable infamy. And I think this attack ad that they rolled out once again on Fox News, Fox and Friends on the morning, and especially if you saw it in real time, you know, and you watched it unfold. Your jaw was on the ground for about 10 minutes afterward.
Yeah.
The ominous music, the misinformation, the graphics, it was spectacular in that it was the ultimate Fox News parody. I mean, if you want, if you Media Matters and lots of other people have been saying Fox News is a political entity. Fox News has replaced the RNC. Fox News is dedicated, you know, to electing Republicans. People say, oh, no, that's just at nighttime. Oh, no, they just have a few opinion shows.
Yeah, and as you say, they basically
sit there and watch this attack ad and tell me this is journalism in any way, shape, or form.
And as you said, it was like their impatience. They just wanted to cut out the middleman of the Republican Party. Get out of our way. We can.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to do this.
You know, Sean Hannity made a similar point last week in saying, hey, Republicans, this is how you should attack Obama. And they're basically saying, God, you know, RNC, what are you waiting for? This is how you do an attack. And the response was very similar to the Glenn Beck calling Obama a racist. You know, there was sort of this weird, non-passive voice response from Fox News executives saying, you know, this attack ad wasn't cleared through, you know, senior producers.
Mistakes were made.
Yeah,
well,
it just mistake.
What does
that
mean?
Yeah,
it's
a spontaneous mistake, Eric, that took several months to produce.
Yeah. And it was cheered in real time by the host, and the person who made it is still working there. And it is, if you've noticed, no one on Fox has mentioned that ad, period. It did. It went down into this memory hole.
Yeah.
But they don't apologize for it, or no one has been reprimanded. So, once again.
Ad? Did you say
no
ad?
Did
you say ad, Eric? It was a news piece about the president's term.
No one at Fox takes any responsibility for any of this stuff.
Yep.
And you know, this debate, you know, quote unquote, about what Fox's real role is, I think is over, and everyone can see it. And it's up to the mainstream press now whether they want to play this game, or if they're just going to say and call it out and say, oh, by the way, Fox News is campaigning actively against President Obama, and here are the 10 reasons how.
Yep, exactly. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world anew, shall we? Rush Limbaugh, oh, here we go, with, you know, math is just kind of subjective.
How good is George W. Bush looking? I don't think that there is an informed person in this country who wouldn't take the Bush economy over what we've got.
What?
Here. It's a no-brainer.
The
budget
right.
deficit when Bush left office was $167 billion. I mean, it's absurd to believe.
There we go.
And they're still trying to blame Bush.
Yes.
That's if you don't count the two wars that went unfunded.
Yes, thank you.
And you don't count the 750,000 jobs a month
right.
he's losing.
In a monthly. I mean, people forget. I mean, that wasn't like for the year. That was for, you know, monthly.
Yeah. What informed person, Eric, wouldn't take, you know, losing 750,000 jobs a month over adding 69,000? That's simple math.
Yeah.
And what is quite remarkable, if you look at the polling, still a majority, or at least a plurality of Americans, still blame Bush for the economic situation. Even I'm surprised by that. I mean, it's been a long time. But what happened in 2008 made such a deep and lasting impression among Americans. They're going to blame him for a long, long time. But it reminded me of Limbaugh talking about how rosy things were when Bush left office. I remember last year on Media Matters caught Limbaugh saying, you know, lying about the unemployment rate when Bush left office. He chopped off about 2 or 3 points.
Oh my God.
To suggest, you know, unemployment was like at 4% or 5% when he left. So it's a continuous rewriting of history and this revisionist history. And boy, doesn't he look great. And my gosh, didn't he leave the American economy just booming when he handed over to Obama.
Well, Eric, that's what I mean.
About East Asia. We've always been at war with East Asia.
But that's what I mean. Like watching Meet the Press yesterday, thank God for Media Matters, because I remember hearing that. You're right. Like, oh, really? Unemployment was at 4 when Bush left? No, it wasn't.
Multiple of 4.
Yeah, maybe. Right, exactly. All right. Eric Bolt remains in the sidecar. We continue more Right Wing World after this on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Can you absolutely positively guarantee that it will give me an orgasm? Yeah.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Did the TV audience get to see Mr. Spacely, our boss?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
See Mr. Spacely?
That ominous... You know how you can tell he was here? Because, look, he put several more... comedy CDs up there.
He put merch around.
Yeah, he littered things around.
Yeah.
The guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money.
Why don't you go ahead and sell these?
Okay, I don't think you're plugging the album enough.
So, you need to plug it. It's on the camera. Now they can see them.
Can I say, though, I have to tell you, this is classic guy that owns the show. I told you this yesterday. Because our phone bill's gone through the roof. Do you have to say the number so much? It's a talk radio show. What? Stop calling me!
That's kind of the basic element of the show.
That was my personal favorite thing. That's saying something. Okay, Eric, you know how much money this phone line is costing me that you're on right now? You better come up with something good. All right. Let's continue Right Wing World. Bill O'Reilly.
I'll tell you what. I do believe the factors reporting on the media has influenced the Romney campaign, and they are going to be confrontational toward the media, the TV media, if they feel that they're in the tank for Barack Obama. And that'll be very interesting.
Yeah, you saw that pit bull David Gregory.
Yeah, and this notion that O'Reilly's been pushing that the media is liberal and biased towards the Republicans. This is all groundbreaking stuff that the Romney campaign must have seen as just a stunning revelation and is going to start using. What's funny is O'Reilly and Fox and, you know, what they can never discuss, although you and I have, is this Pew Research study, ongoing weekly analysis of coverage. And what has it shown? It's shown for the last year, President Obama has not notched a single week where he received more positive coverage than negative coverage. Yep. In fact, for a lot of the weeks, it's almost 2-1 negative. So it completely obliterates, you know, this Fox News talking point. But O'Reilly won't talk about that. And O'Reilly certainly won't talk about the fact that Fox hosted an attack ad against Obama last week. So where does that fall into this, you know, this liberal media coverage?
Yep.
So the denial is getting pretty firm over there.
Yep. Grover Norquist on the Situation Room.
What Governor Romney and most Republicans have done is signed a pledge, not to me, that's what Harry Reid, the head of the Democrats in the Senate, likes to say, but the pledge is to the American people. It's on our website, her.org. Everybody can see it. It's on most candidates' websites, so you can see that they made that commitment to the American people.
Uh-huh.
And so Jeb Bush really misspoke and insulted Romney and shouldn't have.
Oh, wow. Dear.
That made the pledge to the American people.
There's a crack in this. There's starting to be cracks in this tax pledge business, isn't there, Eric?
There are some cracks, but you hear, you know, you can almost hear the marching, how lockstep it's supposed to be. I mean, here's Jeb Bush, one of the most nationally prominent Republicans, and he raises doubts about this blanket obstructionist, campaign that they're running, that you cannot even put taxes on the table. And boy, he's just called out on national television. He's insulted, you know, the Republican leadership in Romney because he dared mention that it's kind of a crazy idea if you're going to govern.
I've got the number in front of me. At least 27 Republican candidates have refused to sign the anti-tax pledge because I think, you know, even they are starting to go, this is not a pledge to America. This is a pledge to a guy named Grover. All right. Jerry Taylor, a guest on Stossel on Fox Business.
Oil and gas companies actually don't do all that well. These are huge companies. They're huge because, well, they sell a lot of product and they invest a lot. But relative to the size of their business, they're actually not particularly profitable industries.
No.
What?
Well, who among us would want to settle for several billion dollars a year?
Several? Yeah. I mean, more than several. On the Google, I think Exxon was like $50 billion.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, drop in the bucket.
You can't even calculate how much money they make on a daily basis. Those poor struggling, you know, refineries. How do they get by? It's a miracle.
Well, compared to the planet Jupiter, they're very tiny.
The guy that owns the show's out there going, do they sell CDs? How are they doing? All right. They probably don't use the phone as much as you do.
There you go.
Eric Bowling on the five.
There are a lot of people who think that there's a whole, you know, social engineering thing going on in the White House. There's the Agenda 21 from the UN. There's also the White House Rural Council. If they're gathering information to bring people closer to the cities, there's a lot more eyeballs they can keep on them, a lot more... efficiencies in water.
Did anyone accidentally book you when they meant to get Eric Bowling?
One can only hope.
Yeah.
So he was saying, should we even try to figure out? There's a conspiracy to lure people to the city?
Yes.
Yeah, so Obama can
keep an eye on them. Especially the city of Honolulu, which is Kenya.
Let's leave that there so we can get to our friend Tim Graham at Newsbusters.
Oh, God. Yes.
That was where they talked about his white girlfriends in college, which, you know, again, you would think that would be a story that a news media that's so conscious about race seemed to not think that that was an interesting development, that Obama had these white girlfriends. And how exactly would the black women feel about Obama having white girlfriends?
Yeah, that's...
They just weren't really, you know, again, suddenly they're race neutral. They're colorblind.
Yeah, that's the question we haven't answered.
Hey, where are the white women at?
Yeah.
this is what the vetting has become.
There it is.
You know?
All right. Eric,
creepy stuff like that.
Yep.
Exactly. We're out of time, thank God. I can't think anymore. No moss. Eric Bowler, see you next week, honey.
Bye-bye.
All right, there you go. 29 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
You're right.
Stephanie Miller.
Super hot lady who my wife keeps telling me why you're famous, but I keep forgetting.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. This is when we pull the covers up and light our flashlight and hear the scary stories from Ari Berman. This time, a Rolling Stone piece, Florida GOP takes voter suppression to a brazen new extreme. Mm-hmm. It's the terrifying Ari Berman. Hello, Ari.
Hey, thank you, Stephanie. We should brand this the bad news report.
I don't know. You're like a ride. It's scary, but I just keep going again and again. But, you know, we should say there is some good breaking news, isn't there, this morning, that all 67 Florida election supervisors have suspended Rick Scott's voter purge, correct?
Yeah, I mean, this story could have a happy ending at the end of the day because, number one, the local election officials have suspended the purge. Number two, the Justice Department has stepped in to challenge the purge. Number one, because they Florida didn't get approval from the federal government under Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act, which they are required legally to do, and number two, because the Justice Department said that the law violates the National Voter Registration Act, which basically says you can't mess with the voter rolls 90 days before an election, and Florida has primaries on August 14th. And the last thing is that, not related to the voter purge, but just related more broadly to Florida's voter suppression efforts, a federal judge said that Florida's ban essentially on voter registration drives, they added all these onerous new requirements, which had the effect of forcing groups like the League of Women Voters and Rock the Vote to suspend their voter registration drives, that is also unconstitutional. So Florida's getting it every which way now, from the federal government, from the federal courts, and also from their own election supervisors.
Well, you know, Ari, you raise a good point that you know, they're like so used to demonizing these groups that just exist to get people registered, like Acorn, which of course is gone now. I mean, and you're right. Now, you know, the suspicion falls on anything from Rock the Vote to League of Women Voters. Because once again, you know, as Bill Clinton always says, when people vote, Democrats tend to win. So this is so blatant in state after state. They're trying to get the least number of people able to vote, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Florida learned two lessons. Number one, they learned that they could basically steal the 2000 election and get away with it, partly by purging eligible voters. I mean, people forget in 2000. 12,000 eligible voters were wrongly branded as convicted felons, unable to vote. That was 22 times larger than the margin of victory for George W. Bush. 41% of those people were African Americans, who overwhelmingly supported Gore over Bush. So when people think about Florida, they often remember the Supreme Court or the hanging chads. They don't realize that all these people were branded as felons in this voter purge and unable to vote. So number one, because Florida got away with that, they said, okay, well, we can do this again, and we'll get away with it again as well. And the other thing is that they were so successful at demonizing Acorn and shutting that group down that I think they also thought, okay, well, now we can do this to the League of Women Voters. Now we can do this to Rock the Vote. The fact that they have been able to manipulate the electorate in their favor really emboldened them in 2010, after all these Tea Party governors and politicians took office,
right,
to push all these new voting restrictions, which I've written about for Rolling Stone and The Nation.
Right. Ari, that sound you hear was the sound of my boss Al Gore changing the channel right now. He'll probably skip this segment. That's how your scary story starts. Imagine this: a Republican governor in a crucial battleground state instructs his secretary state to purge the voting rolls of hundreds of thousands of allegedly ineligible voters. The move disenfranchises thousands of legally registered voters who happen to be overwhelmingly Black and Hispanic Democrats. The number of votes prevented from casting a ballot exceeds the margin of victory in the razor-thin election, which ends up determining the next president of the United States. If this scenario sounds familiar, it's because it happened in Florida in 2000, and 12 years later, just months before a presidential election, history is repeating itself. I mean, this is what, like you were saying, even on a bipartisan basis, these election supervisors are like, this is unprecedented. This close to an election, you can't do this, right?
Well, exactly. First thing, it was drawn up in total secrecy. Rick Scott, the governor of Florida, asked his Secretary of State to do this. His Republican Secretary of State resigned rather than carry out this purge. So then he got a new Secretary of State who was best known as a beer industry lobbyist, obviously highly qualified for the job. And he sent this initial, first thing, they drew up this list of 182,000 suspected non-citizens based on information from the DMV. So they said, they looked at the DMV, they looked at the voter rolls. If they didn't match, they said, okay, well, you must be a non-citizen, which is absolutely ridiculous, because there's all sorts of other data needed to establish this. So they gave 2,600 names initially to election supervisors. Three-fifths of them were in Miami-Dade County, which is overwhelmingly Democratic, voted for Obama by 17 points in 2008. Of the people that Miami-Dade began to contact, in excess of 20% of them were actually eligible voters. So if you did the math nationally and you looked at that 182,000 people on their suspected non-citizens list, even if only 20% of them are quote-unquote eligible voters, that is still 35,000 eligible voters, which is way larger than the margin of victory in 2000, and you could very well see Florida being very, very close again in 2012. So I think the election supervisors, number one, they weren't brought into the process. Then they saw that there was all these errors in the list themselves, and then they looked at the numbers and they said, well, why are Hispanics 58% of the non-citizens list? Why do Democrats outnumber Republicans 2-1 the non-citizen list? Why are they all in Miami-Dade County? And they started to say, wait a second, this looks more like partisan voter targeting than it does like any sort of effort to clean up the voter roll.
Obviously. And, you know, and you write the actual, like, ominous wording on this letter. You are not a United States citizen. However, you are registered to vote. If the recipients don't reply within 30 days and affirm their U.S. citizenship, they'll be dropped from the voter rolls. And so you say it's impossible to say here, you know, how many people, you know, if they've moved, aren't home, don't have ready access to citizenship documents or won't bother to reply to the menacing letter. It's impossible to say how many, you know, eligible voters would be disenfranchised.
It's crazy. And I mean, why is the burden of proof on the voters to prove they are citizens rather than on the state to say, okay, this is how we came up with this list. This is why we believe they're non-citizens. This is why we need to do this now, you know, right in the middle of a hotly contested presidential election in May. I mean, I don't know what Rick Scott was thinking, other than he did this, Florida did this previously in 2000, they got away with it, and Rick Scott passed all these new voting restrictions once he took office after 2010, and he just thought, okay, well, I'm going to get some pushback from Democrats, from the so-called good government groups, but then I'm just going to be able to proceed and ensure that Mitt Romney is elected president and wins Florida in 2012. And the tremendous amount of pushback, first from Think Progress, and then from myself and a lot of other reporters, and from all the variety of voting rights groups, whether it was the Brennan Center for Justice or the Advancement Project or the League of Women Voters, that really forced Florida to start to backtrack. But I think really what it was is the election supervisors were the ones who really made the big difference here so far. And then the Justice Department, because if the election supervisors don't carry it out and the Justice Department finds Florida is actually breaking the law, then the governor is on very shaky ground kind of trying to carry this out.
Well, I mean, as you say, I mean, no one's buying this. Like the purge, the election changes were sold under the banner of voting integrity. Yeah. Even though the so-called voter fraud cases are virtually non-existent in Florida, as in the rest of the country, you quote a Republican state senator who opposed the new restrictions, saying, "No one could give me an example of all this fraud they speak about." I mean, that's the whole story, right?
Oh, that is the story, and it has been the most pernicious lie perpetrated by the Republicans since the 2010 election, and honestly, well before that, is about the prevalence of voter fraud. Number one, how much voter fraud there is, and then number two, the fact that, of course, everyone who commits voter fraud is somehow voting for Democratic candidates and for the president. Because you look at a state like Florida, there are more shark attacks than cases of reported voter fraud in Florida. Not only that, but there were three arrests between 2008 to 2011 for suspected voter fraud. Only three arrests when there was millions of votes cast. Same thing nationally. I mean, the Bush Justice Department did a huge investigation into voter fraud, which was a top priority for the Republican Justice Department. They found only 86 cases of voter fraud out of 300 million votes cast. I mean, so it's such a minor percentage of people doing this. Those that do it, usually it's just because of not knowing they were ineligible to vote.
Yeah.
The few cases of chicanery there are have often been more
or you make it sound like
the Republican side than they have been on the Democratic side. So I just don't think there's been enough pushback on this.
Who's one of those three, Ann Coulter? Just wondering.
Just asking.
Well, one of them was the Indiana Secretary of State, funnily enough, who is a Republican in the state that passed the country's first photo ID law.
You make it sound like a naked zombie getting its face eaten off by a shark trying to commit voter fraud is somehow a freak accident in Florida. But talk to us quickly before you go, Ari, but around the country, because Florida's not the only place. And I don't know how you think it's going to play out in Florida, but also elsewhere, in terms of to what degree are they going to get away with it?
No, I mean, the voter purge is somewhat unique to Florida, but there have been more than a dozen states passing new voting restrictions since the 2010 election, and that includes very critical battleground states like Wisconsin and Pennsylvania now putting in new photo ID requirements. The Justice Department is challenging these laws in Florida not only, but also in South Carolina and Texas, so it remains to be seen how this is going to play out, but it's likely that about a dozen states are going to have new election requirements that people are going to have to be aware of, whether it's to get your ID or to figure out how to register to vote if there's no nonpartisan voter registration drives, or to figure out if early voting has been cut back, when you actually can vote, and hopefully everyone is going to be able to figure out how to navigate the system. My worry
well,
is that
in every case I've read, Ari, it's pretty blatant that what they're trying to suppress. You know, it's either black voting, it's Hispanic, absolutely the groups that would vote overwhelmingly for the president. I mean, it's so blatant, and I just hope that it angers people and mobilizes them more.
Absolutely. I mean, it's aimed at the core of the Obama coalition, which is young voters, African Americans, Hispanics. I mean, time and time again, we've seen that those groups have been targeted, and those are the groups that have the most difficulty trying to comply with the law and have been singled out in many occasions, not being able to use their student IDs, for example, or passing laws that disproportionately affect African Americans and Hispanics. This is a trend because the GOP knows they are up against a changing demographic trend that doesn't favor their party, and so what they've tried to do is, instead of trying to get more people to vote for the Republican Party, they're just trying to keep Democratic turnout down.
Yeah. When in doubt, cheat. When in doubt, cheat, right?
Yeah. When in doubt, suppress.
Yeah, exactly. Ari, great stuff as usual. Terrifying, but as you say, hopefully with a happy ending. So
we can always hope.
Yeah. Florida GOP takes voter suppression to a brazen new extreme in the new Rolling Stone. Ari, thanks so much. Talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, Stephanie. I appreciate it.
All right. There he goes. Ari Berman. Oi.
Yeah, it's always so scary when he's on.
Right, but it's I hope, like I say, you use that to mobilize and not to depress turnout. All right, 46 minutes after the hour. Speaking of which, big day in Wisconsin tomorrow. We will talk about that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Damn it, Jim. I'm not a doctor, but I think I'm dying of laughter. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Jellyhead?
Jellyhead. You, Governor Walker. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Here he is, Governor Wanker, yesterday. Governor Scott Walker.
I've heard for years from Democrat, Republican voters alike, that people complain that politicians get in the office and they don't take on the tough issues. That's exactly what we did.
Yes, you did, Skippy.
Like all those union teachers. You had to get rid of them.
Yeah. Hmm. Mayor Tom Barrett, go Barrett.
Those people have an agenda that's not a Wisconsin agenda. It's about the Tea Party movement and what he can do to make this the Tea Party capital of this country.
Yeah, that's why Wanker hardly spends any time in Wisconsin. He's, coke sucking in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
Raising Koch brothers' money.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Amy Kramer, please, and thank you, Wisconsin Tea Party.
That's right.
If Governor Walker doesn't get the support he needs in this, then who's going to have the courage across the rest of the country to make these big, bold, tough decisions?
Yeah. Why do all Tea Party women sound exactly alike, Kathy Durr?
I say to the Republican leadership, take off your lace panties. Stop being noodle-backed.
Just shrill. Someone you wouldn't want to listen to for more than a minute.
You
don't
make those tough decisions.
Here's Melody Evans-Haley, a union thug.
Yep. We're the union. The people are the union.
Yes.
We have a right to stand up.
That's right.
You rock on, sister.
And might I say, she knows how to modulate her voice.
Thank you. Thank
you got to scat those people who know how to modulate their voices.
Thank you for your modulation, Melody. We appreciate it.
You can't be noodle backs with those people.
Yeah, here's just an FYI. Corporations, not people.
Right. Nope.
Unions are people.
Yes.
They are. They're people, you see. Bill in Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill. Welcome. Oh, I think Bill dropped. Let's go to Andrew in California. Hey, Andrew, welcome. Or no, I'm having a little bit of a meltdown. Andrew, hi, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hello.
No, you keep answering line 8.
Yes.
Are you?
Hello? Right. Hello, who is this?
Wrong line. Need to answer line 7.
Please don't
answer. All right. This is a bad phone.
No, you need to answer line 7. It says line 8 there, but it's 7.
Okay. Fine. Andrew, hi, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
You got me this time, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Rebecca is drunk. Hey, that's the problem. It's usually me that's drunk, and it works fine. But all right, go ahead.
Well, you know, I'm a school teacher, and today's the first day of my vacation, so I'm a little drunk, too.
All right, good. Yay!
Just kidding. Just kidding. I'm watching my two sons. My wife still has to work.
Okay.
All right, so I want to be the official social studies teacher of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you.
Okay, I've called before. So I tried to get my students to register to vote. You know, I'm the government teacher. I'm being conscientious teacher. So I go to my principal and I tell him, hey, I want to call the county register and have them come down and register our kids to vote, you know, because they can register it at 16 and they can actually register at 17, and then they'll take their registration and then wait until they're eligible to vote and they're already pre-registered.
Right.
So I go to my principal and I say, I want to do this. He's like, oh, I don't know about that. I'm like, what do you know? You don't know about that. He goes, well, I'm going to have to talk to the district about that. And I was like, why? He goes, well, you know, that's political. I mean, it's not political at all. We're just registering them. There's nothing political about registering people to vote. It's their right. I'm the conscientious teacher, right? I'm supposed to be getting them involved, teaching them civic responsibility, teaching them this is their responsibility. So he kicks it up to district. Every week I go back. Has the district made a decision? No.
Wow.
They hemmed and hauled all the way up until the registration deadline passed.
Wow.
So none of my students got registered. So anticipating this, I got on the phone, took my cell phone out one day in class, and every kid in my class called the county registrar from my phone and asked for the registration packet.
Good.
Yay. Hey, good for you, you socialist. Good job. Nicely
done. That should
be
a basic part of civics and social studies.
But this is what we're saying.
Right, because they know damn well young people are in favor of Obama by a huge rate, so they want to suppress the vote.
Yeah, that's exactly what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember when registering to vote used to be just a
your civic
American
duty.
Thing?
It used to be patriotic,
yes. Ronnie.
Oh, we can't do that. That's controversial.
Ronnie in North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ronnie.
Hey, Steph.
Hi.
Oh, Florida. When are they going to get it right? Look, the Zimmerman thing.
Yep.
When he took an oath and took the stand and made that self-serving explanation that he did not know the age of Trevon was perjury.
Right, because he's on the 911 call and saying it's a teenager.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And why are they not charging him with perjury? The first thing that came out of his mouth was a perjuristic lie.
Well, Ronnie, that's why he's back in jail, because he obviously perjured himself about, you know, what kind of money they had. He obviously he didn't disclose. How do you not disclose $135,000 that you've collected in donations for your defense, right?
Absolutely. But they still have not mentioned the fact that he perjured himself the minute he took the stand by saying that that he did not know the age of Trevon. He knew the age, and we know he knew the age, because we heard that 911 call.
Yep, that's right. All right, why are you snickering?
Because Jackie Schechner tweeted a link to an article on how telephones work.
All right. See if you get soup next time, you sick sister. Bill.
I'm trying to use the phone.
Bill. Bill in Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill.
Steph, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, for God's sakes. Yes, Bill.
It wasn't advised towards me, which I'm sure it was, but you and Rachel Maddow are my two lifelong loves, which is unfortunate. I'm a heterosexual male.
Yeah, you're screwed. Not in a good way.
Well, that's debatable. But my comment has to do with the fact I'm a physician in North Carolina, and all of these Republicans, they're almost akin to what you see on Fox News, you know. Mm-hmm. And once you get in the OR theater and they're listening to music, you realize that these guys absolutely do not have
political views whatsoever. They definitely make their decisions based wholly on economic decisions by the Republican Party. I mean, these social issues are used to obviously manipulate the ignorant public. That's the only reason the South has continued to vote Democratic.
Yep, I hear you. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Like Mark did, dear staff, a Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate in New York, Wendy Long, has stated that same-sex marriage could lead people to marry their dogs. Oh, awesome.
Well, you're pretty much there.
Yeah, I'm always a bit a woman ahead of my time.
You're for that.
In fact, during a radio interview with Laura Ingraham, she stated, "You and I love our dogs. Who says we can't marry our dogs?" Oh, maybe Laura Ingraham has a special relationship with her dog.
Hmm.
Max and Fred are so handsome and romantic. They're watching now. I leave the TV on for them.
Maybe her dogs pull her hair.
No, I was just wondering if they do that.
Pardon me?
With their claws.
Dogs pull her hair.
All right, we don't want to hear the... Okay.
All right. Come on, you always egg us on to do it.
All right, go ahead. Do the Laura Ingraham.
To the right. More to the right. Not the left. The right.
Pull my hair.
Pull my hair. You know I like it.
All right. Sometimes I know that gets a little backed up for you. You need to get that out of your system. Okay. All right. Oh, this made me feel better about being a childless, elderly, shut-in loser.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather be that than this couple. Elderly couple attributes decades-long marriage to matching outfits.
No.
Really?
No.
And my wife Bonnie bought me a lovely pantsuit.
No, wait. The other way around.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, my Marcus Bachman, David Bender, is at my house, and he'll be joining us at the end of this hour. All right. Mel and Joey, thanks. Schwenky.
Mel and Joey Schwenky.
Fremont, Nebraska. Been married for 64
Please
years. Their secret, we don't dare go anywhere without having matching outfits.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Indeed, the two have spent the past 35 years meticulously coordinating their attire, though they can't quite remember why. Sure, because you were doofuses, and you still are. I don't remember how that first outfit came about, Mel said, yet they still carry on the tradition every single day with 146 custom-made matching outfits in their closet. Okay,
wow.
That's how my life could be a little sadder.
You've never done that with any relationship you've been in, have you?
Maybe that's why I haven't had one that worked yet.
Maybe.
Maybe that's what's missing.
Hey, you. I know you. I know you. You're dressed just like me.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
All right, and as you know, gays, you know, can't have kids, according to a lot of the right-wing groups. Mm. However, did you hear about the mom arrested after she drives off with her baby on the car roof?
You
the baby's fine.
Baby
Look
on
at
a
you.
Car.
Look at you. You have a baby.
On a car.
Oh, there's Mitt Romney's running mate.
Hmm. Who's that?
No, I mean the girl.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, she was a kid on the top of the
19 and high, though.
Oh, did you see a picture of this gal? The pink hair? Phoenix, Arizona. Oh, my God, this is so Raising Arizona, this story. Wendy, get the Huggies.
Because
right.
There was a
what
baby.
What was in the Huggies? No!
There was a baby in the middle of an intersection in Raising Arizona.
Yep. Yeah, this is so Raising Arizona. Yeah, Phoenix, a Valley mother has been arrested for allegedly leaving her baby in a car seat on top of the vehicle and then driving off. She didn't notice even when it fell off. Yeah, it fell off. And miraculously, the baby's fine. And someone found it still in the car seat in the road.
I love him so much.
These come in funny shapes at all?
Not unless round's funny.
Her room's a rocking place. My seat can find no purchase.
Were there substances involved, Jim? Why?
Yes.
Ironically, yes. Of course. In this case, a lot of dope.
Wow.
The suspect and her boyfriend had been smoking marijuana earlier.
Sure, they call it dope. Ha, ha, ha. They're out by the dumpster smoking marijuana cigarettes.
Yes. So, let's see. They went out for a beer run. He got arrested for DUI with the baby in the car. Then she apparently was upset about his arrest, so she went to a friend's house and smoked two additional bowls of marijuana. Then left the baby, the home with at midnight with the baby.
On the car.
Who had been asleep in the child safety seat. She placed that on, what do you think, you're Mitt Romney? You can't put a, what is that, a Labrador? She put it on the roof, and then she took off.
Oh, the baby loved it.
Yeah, baby loves it up there. Whee, lots of wind.
You know what, this sort of thing happens in Apache Junction all the time, which is the redneck suburb of Phoenix. Yeah.
It appears she put the baby on the roof of her car, drove off, forgetting he was on the roof when she arrived home. She found the baby
something.
Was not in or on the car. Wait, she then realized her mistake and called her friends. Wow, how much would you give for a recording of that call?
I totally spaced in something. I don't remember what it was.
I got you guys. You're just not going to believe this.
I got you
I totally left the kid on the top of the car.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Oh, and then this one. Tiger. It's a tiger dad. Worst dad ever abandons daughter after math grades don't meet expectations. A teenage girl, this is Gawker, brings us this. Teenage girl said she was worried she would never see her family again after her father left her stranded on a street corner because she was failing calculus.
Oh, my God.
Calculus is really hard.
Math is hard.
Right?
That's why I got into a profession that requires no math whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. The Pennsylvania man reportedly ordered his 16-year-old daughter to pack some clothes and a blanket and then drove her to an intersection where he left her without a cell phone to fend for herself.
Wow.
Okay.
That's a problem.
Wow, we hear some good news finally. The CDC claims zombie virus is not a real thing as cannibal attacks continue.
Okay. Wow, gee, I was good. So worried.
Gawker again bringing us this story. The Department of Health Centers for Disease Control and Prevention today issued an official statement denying the existence of a zombie virus following a recent spate of incidents. Involving
this is only being a test of the zombie alert system.
Yeah. CDC does not know of a virus or condition that would reanimate the dead. Or one that would present zombie-like systems.
Thank you. Thank you, CDC.
Mm-hmm. The denial comes on the heel of multiple zombie-esque events throughout the country and the world, as well as a rash of ominous occurrences across the state of Florida leading up to last Saturday's face-eating attack. Despite the CDC's assurance, another case of man-eat-man was reported in Staten Island. Yesterday, as one diner patron bit off the ear of another customer in the midst of an altercation over which TV channel to put
What is going on with people?
People, settle. Stop eating each other.
Stop watching vampire TV shows.
By the way, True Blood starts up next weekend.
Put your baby in the car. Oh, kids these days smoking the dope and the bath salts and leaving the baby on the car and eating each other's faces. No wonder I never leave my house.
And throwing your intestines at each other.
Oh, stop it.
What?
All right, and now for some festive news. The British Queen. Did you see the 1,000 boat strong jubilee? It's the Diamond Jubilee.
Yeah, if you were watching CNN, you couldn't miss it. They had wall-to-wall coverage.
Yes,
on
live coverage Tuesday morning.
Still going on? Majestic flotilla. Not often you hear that word.
Majestic flotilla.
More than 1,000 vessels. To mark her diamond.
Jubilee.
Exactly.
As Tom Rocco would try to say.
Today, the Queen will join thousands of revelers at an outdoor concert beside Buckingham Palace, headlined by Paul McCartney and Elton John.
McCartney.
That's his cousin with the hair lift. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Stephanie Louise Miller.
Okay, who is no relation to Trent Franks. All right. Hundreds of anti-monarchists held a protest, though, to oppose the wave of Jubilee mania. One of them said people are sick and tired of being told they must celebrate 60 years of one very privileged, very remote, and very uninspiring head of state. Oh, harumph. The Queen cannot be, you know.
Very doubted that anyone in the colonies were aware. Or if they were, one doubts that any of them gave a rodent's derriere. At the weekend, we celebrated our Diamond Jubilee. But it was not just the Yanks who are not at all amused by our celebration. It seems a small cadre of malcontents, cads, and anti-monarchist hooligans were, and we quote, sick and tired of being told you must celebrate 60 years of one very privileged, very remote, and very uninspiring head of state. Dear me, they do seem to have their knickers in a twist. Perhaps their mood would improve if they were to watch the celebration in irons from the cosy confines of the Tower of London. We hear the view from the Oubliette is spectacular. In any event, off with their heads! Kidding. Nevertheless, we are not amused. And we order them to hang by the neck until they cheer up. Kidding. No, we're not.
I somehow did not think she would be amused.
No.
Speaking of queens, Gawker brings us Queen Latifah. Yep, I'm still officially not gay. Oh boy.
Wow.
Those who thought Queen Latifah's appearance at Long Beach Gay Pride signaled a move toward coming out will be disappointed. Today she told Entertainment Weekly her performance had nothing to do with her still very private sexuality. I've never dealt with the question of my personal life in public. It's just not going to happen. Gawker writes, next up, Queen Latifah stars in the Lifetime remake of Steel Magnolias. Openly lesbian or not, it doesn't get much gayer than that. Steel Magnolias is very, very gay.
Yes.
All right. Speaking of parties, Bobby Jean in Washington, you're going to Boston Sexy Liberal Saturday?
Yes, I am.
What? All the way from Washington?
Yes.
Yay.
I am coming to see you because my husband lives over there. You're welcome.
Oh, awesome.
We've met you a few times. I met you last year.
Awesome. Well, in fact, we're going to have an exciting announcement. I don't know if we can say it yet about Saturday, but we'll see you there, okay? At the Wilbur.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm going to miss Hal, but we met Hal already last year.
Oh,
but
good.
I'm more excited to see Alicia.
Yeah, to see Aisha. Aisha and the first interracial three-way teabagging demonstration. Aisha Tyler, John Buchanan, hanging on. Very, very few tickets left, so hurry. Go to sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook. You can find a link.
Right.
And it's at the...
Technically, it's pegging and teabagging.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Or you can go right to the Wilbur box office.
Yes, and you can buy merch at the Sexy Liberal website.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
Mr. Spacely will
I'm
be
wearing
happy.
Boogity cheese in honor of my friend Aisha Tyler. All right, that's Saturday night at the Wilbur, 17 minutes after the hour, right back. On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Sweet Lady Gaga, that is good.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Dearly beloved, we have gathered here today to get to this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah!
Oh, no, let's go! Go crazy.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Andy from Madison, ground zero for the recall tomorrow. Hi, Andy. Welcome.
Hey, before I give you the Wisconsin update, I just want to say that CDC announcement is exactly the kind of prepared denial I would expect if something escaped from their secret germ lab.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah, look over there. There's nothing. There's no new zombie news to see. Yeah, go ahead.
So our very partisan Republican Attorney General announced that he's sending out teams of attorneys and investigators to go to poll sites and try and discourage fraud, supposedly.
Yes, that rampant fraud that we hear so much about.
And, it's because he wouldn't step in and help the Milwaukee District Attorney. That's the whole reason why the Fed got involved. And I just read that David Schuster had his sources confirm that Walker is the target of a federal investigation.
Yeah, Nice. Good timing on that news just before we vote tomorrow.
Right.
And Kevin in Chicago writes, Steph, I made the trip to Racine this past Saturday to help support my Wisconsin brothers and sisters to hear John Nichols, Big Eddie Schultz, and various candidates running for office. The Donald Trump huge crowd went wild every time the name
Stephanie Miller
was mentioned, and it was mentioned a lot.
Oh, yay!
Thank you, Wisconsin! Back at you. We will be there with you in spirit tomorrow. And David Bender will be in this hour to talk about how important this is, the election is tomorrow. Oh, Kim in Seattle, meanwhile, says, Steph, Mittens is in Seattle today to beg for money. I hope our rain has just the right moisture content. You know how picky he is about stuff like that. It's raindrops.
This rain is
just the right kind of wet. Okay. John in Tennessee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hi there. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I'm the chairman of the Henry County Democratic Party here, and I want to tell you about our voter suppression thing. Our commissioner, listen, I need to let you go. I got somebody on the other phone. Okay, bye-bye.
Oh, okay.
And he came back.
I thought you had to go to someone else. Okay. Okay.
No, he came in and tried to explain the law and how they're doing everything they can to get people to vote. Of course, the newspaper said we were not to discuss anything about the law. We were not to talk about our challenges to the law. And I wanted to go up there and tell him, number one, we've had zero voter fraud in Henry County. Zero. Okay.
Yep.
So the law doesn't mean anything to this county. And number two, they purged about 2,000 people off the list. And I had requested from the county commissioner here a list of those people, not the ones that were dead, because I can't get them to vote again, but the ones that were purged for whatever reason and why they were purged.
Right.
And I never got a response. Hmm. They sent the letter up to Nashville because this guy down here wasn't going to do anything about it, and I have never heard from Trey Hargett, who is our Secretary
yep.
of State.
Yeah, so, you know, they aren't fooling anybody. It's not about voter fraud. It's all right.
So it sounds like it's happening all across the country, not just in Florida.
Mm. See how my self-esteem is? I assumed he was hanging up on me for, like, a bigger radio host. I was like, oh, okay. Okay, bye. Let's go to Millie in Jackson, Mississippi. Hey, Millie, welcome.
Yo, I've had something on my mind for a very long time and trying to see how to implement the plan.
Okay.
I think that in order to help Obama pass his initiatives,
yep.
we have to all get together and go to Washington, D.C., and stand there until those Republicans do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. You can't, I mean, to have John Kasich sit there and meet the press and go, I'm getting things done in a bipartisan way here in Ohio, where both sides of the legislature are controlled by Republicans.
Right.
Things work easier that way, don't they? Oy, the president talking about the economy.
Right now, this country is still fighting our way back from the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. The economy's growing again, but it's not growing as fast as we'd like.
Yeah, oh, by the way, here's some fun facts for you. Bush versus Obama on private and public sector job creation. Private sector job creation under President Obama has far exceeded private sector job creation under President Bush. 40 months into his presidential term, there are currently more private sector jobs in the economy than when Obama came into office. At the same point in President Bush's term, the total number of private sector jobs was still down 1.7% from where it began. And as we all know, that's part of what's going on in Wisconsin tomorrow.
What you call a Clinton recession.
Over the past 40 months, public sector employment has grown at the same, if it had grown at the same pace as it did in President Bush's term, there'd be 1.4 million additional people at work right now. That'd be enough. The unemployment rate would be a full percentage point lower.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, again, part of what tomorrow is about. The president.
Our businesses have created almost 4.3 million new jobs over the last 27 months. But as we learned in today's jobs report, we're still not creating them as fast as we want.
Oh, do you love the whole, corporations aren't hiring because they're overtaxed and regulated and fly?
That old canard.
Corporate profits have now skyrocketed past their pre-recession levels, despite massive profit gains. However, corporations are adding more jobs overseas than they are in the U.S.
Huh.
and paying one of the lowest effective tax rates in the developed world. Some helpful charts there.
That seems kind of douchey of them. Like they don't care about this country.
In a word, yes.
Yeah. Doesn't it? A little bit. So we were talking
profit
about...
Profit über alles.
Yeah, we were talking about Mitt Romney and his little... that was a clever ploy to stand in front of Solyndra. Into his little. However, second Romney-backed solar company files for bankruptcy.
Oops.
Mm-hmm. A day after he stood in front of Solyndra, a solar panel developer that lent the state loan from Mitt Romney when his messages to the governor went belly up.
Not one, but two.
Reading an inconvenient storyline for the Republican candidate. Kanarka was one, and then we'll get to the second one after this. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I sent it to the bar.
You don't send a woman with no underwear and that much makeup to the bar.
That's you.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Oh, mittens. So he stood in front of a cylinder to try to make a point And then literally a day later, Kanarka is the solar company that he landed a state loan from Mitt Romney when he was governor. Mm-hmm. It just went belly up.
Oh.
Romney personally doled out $1.5 million renewable energy subsidies to the Lowell startup in 2003. Huh. Konarka is the second Massachusetts solar company, along with Evergreen Solar and Beacon Power, to receive taxpayer dollars under Romney's tenure and subsequently declare bankruptcy.
Huh. Hmm.
Almost like he was picking winners and losers or something.
You know what the right-wing talking point on that is?
What?
Well, those loans were made, you know, decisions were made by committee. They weren't made by Romney himself.
No, right. He had a Democratic legislature. He can't be held responsible for anything.
Yeah, whereas Obama solely made the decision to give the money to Solyndra.
Nice try.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, that's false.
David Axelrod talking about Romney's record.
Governor Romney offers himself as a job creator, a kind of economic oracle, and he's saying the same exact things that he said 10 years ago when he ran for governor of Massachusetts. And what happened? Massachusetts plunged to 47th in job creation. They lost manufacturing jobs at twice the rate of the country. They grew jobs at one-fifth the rate of the rest of the country. It wasn't the record of a job creator. He had the wrong economic philosophy, and he failed.
Thank you.
What's your point?
Regardless of what you heard David Gregory let a couple of Republicans get away with on Meet the Press, that's the actual Romney record in Massachusetts. Mittens yesterday.
Their policies have not worked, and in many respects, their policies have made it harder for the economy to recover. I think that's one of the reasons why people are looking for a new direction.
Oh, God.
President Obama demanded Congress take action on a variety of measures, including infrastructure investments to aid state and local governments to prevent teachers, firefighters, and police from being laid off. The Republicans have thus far opposed. He also announced a new initiative to encourage private sector employers to hire returning veterans. He said, my message to Congress is now is not the time to play politics. It's not the time to sit on your hands. The American people expect their leaders to work hard no matter what year it is.
Republicans hate the troops.
Mm. Yes. He said there are plenty of steps we can take right now to create jobs and grow this economy. AFL-CIO President Richard Trumka said Republicans in Congress have blocked President Obama's efforts to maintain momentum for growth, whether it's the American Jobs Act or routine highway infrastructure investments.
We want him to be a one-term president. If people die falling off of faulty bridges, don't look at us.
Okay.
I'll be in my turtle tunnel.
Yes, thank you.
Turtle tunnel.
Okay. A new national poll from CNN shows President Obama with a 3-point lead over Romney. There's an enthusiasm gap.
Enthusiasm.
What's sure to be a major factor in the election, voter enthusiasm's tilt toward Obama in the CNN poll. Although the race for the White House is essentially tied, Obama does have one big advantage. His supporters right now are far more enthusiastic about him. That's so startling. More than 6 in 10, that's almost 60%, Jim. Obama voters said they strongly support the president, and only 47% of Romney voters feel that way about their candidate. Right. And I have a feeling they're going to get less enthusiastic the more Romney.
Just start calling him Mitt Romney.
The president is always quick to find someone to blame. First it was George Bush, and then it was Congress, ATM machines, Europe. He's always got someone. But the truth is, the job of the president is to get America back to work.
Yes.
Just like you didn't do when you were governor.
Yeah. Yes, and why? Because you blamed your legislature. Here's why I think Mittens is cranky. Did you see this? Obama win could cost Romney $5 million in personal taxes. Under his own proposal, Romney would pay half what he would. Under President Obama's tax plan, that could save almost $5 million a year. Yikes.
That seems kind of self-serving.
That's a dressage horse masseuse or two.
You mean he's cranky because he might have to pay his fair share in taxes? Wow.
For Obama, he'd save as much as $90,000 a year if Romney's plan were enacted. So he would actually do better personally. Imagine that.
If
in it to help other people.
Making enough money that you owe $5 million in taxes, you're doing pretty damn well.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Albert in Tucson with some big news. Hello, Albert. Welcome.
Hi, Mama. I'm your official birther, boarder, baby on the roof, bozo state biatch here.
Thank you.
I just want to give a shout-out to Ron Barber, who's running in an important election here in Tucson in Arizona to replace Gabrielle Giffords in her congressional seat. And he's running against a Republican Tea Party who has lied through his teeth. Two years ago, he said he was going to eliminate Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and now he's going to save them. So he's lying through his teeth to get elected, and then he'll go with the Tea Party agenda and get rid of them. So turn out Arizona and vote for Ron Barber.
Did I hear that Gabby Giffords is going to make an appearance tomorrow?
Boy, I hope so.
I heard she is.
We need all the support we can get. This is a pretty conservative state, and we need to turn out the vote in order to beat Jesse Kelly tomorrow.
Yep, absolutely. All right, put your baby in the car. In the car.
In the car, Arizona.
Not on the voting
car. In. Preposition troubles. In the
people in Tucson don't do that. That's the people in Apache
there.
Yeah.
Charles in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Charles.
Hey, Mama and Mook, how goes it?
Good, go ahead.
Oh, I'm your official wine director, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Now, the one thing I noticed when I was watching the minister at a school, he was talking to these kids, the room was dead silent. Not because of respect, it's because of, I think they were kind of creeped out by Mr. Romney. And then when he was shaking their hands, they were giving him all the dead fish handshake.
Yeah.
There was, again, dead silence when he was getting the handshake. If we fast forward to Mr. Obama, children light up to him. They enjoy him. They have questions for him.
Charles, you can look at almost any pictures of any Romney event, and it always is hostage crisis video. Almost any picture of Obama.
Yeah.
You can see the looks on people's faces. They're just, you know, genuinely thrilled to see
him. When can we leave?
Please. Like this kid. Did you see the kid? He gave an absentee note. It's cute.
Oh, yeah.
This is great.
This is adorable.
It's cute as Bugs teeth. A lucky fifth grader in Minnesota is coming back to school Monday today with a very special absentee note. After his dad let him skip class Friday to meet the president, he visited a Honeywell factory near Minneapolis where Tyler Sullivan's dad, Ryan, is one of the new employees there. And so, look, it's on the with the presidential seal. Mr. Ackerman, please excuse Tyler. He was with me, President Obama. Let's hope that Mr. Ackerman isn't some Tea Party nutbag.
You're with that Kenyan socialist Nazi liberal.
This kid'll end up in Gitmo or
something. Yeah. He'll get demerits for that. Good Lord.
Exactly. Oh, by the way, if I should be late Thursday, I'll have to see if I can have the president write me a note. Or pink, alternatively, to say why I'm late.
Not if she's still in the hospital.
She's not. Listen, sister, come on, let's go. The big fundraiser is here in L.A. Wednesday night. Pink, Ellen DeGeneres.
Maybe Ellen could write one for you. Maybe I'll accept that.
All right. Because, you know, I'm not used to, I go to bed at
stupid o'clock.
Get up at
insane o'clock.
Yeah.
And what time does this start?
I don't know.
You don't know? You haven't checked?
Well, I need to leave now for traffic because the president will be in town. So it's, I don't know.
Really, you don't know what time it starts?
No, it's all they won't send you details yet. I know you
don't get
pick
the
up
deets?
You have to. Well, I know you need to pick up tickets before 5:30, and then
pick up tickets.
Yes, they're at the whatever.
We'll call
something.
Wow, this is shrouded in secrecy.
Yes, so there's no other details yet about what time it starts or when it's. Oh, I don't know.
Do you know where it is?
Yes.
Okay, so
they've already changed the location, like you know when you're playing Battleship.
Well, I just need to know what area of town to avoid.
Well, maybe I'll tell you, maybe I won't.
Yeah, you'll tell me, then they'll change
it.
If
you make a contribution like I did, maybe I'll tell you. Otherwise, you're on a need-to-know basis.
Then I'd have to sell my van down by the river. If I'm going to make that kind of contribution.
All right. Wow. How racist is this? Speaking to a North Carolina Republican convention, Donald Trump explained he was still curious about the nature and origins of the president's birth certificate, but confronted with claims that he's racist, he said, I just picked Arsenio Hall.
See?
He won Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah.
So, see, how could he possibly...
I picked a black guy. I'm not racist.
Here's the point we're at in American politics. Asked after the event why he continues to bring up the president's birth certificate, Trump said it was the demand from people who want to hear him talk about
people
it.
People who need people.
People pointing out that that's the loudest applause line that he gets in his speeches.
The schmuckiest people
he has to keep.
So the only reason he keeps talking about it is because the dopes in his audience clap the loudest for that.
Yeah. They clap loud out there. They don't. They clap.
Yeah, this is what they're left with. This is a literal, this is actually a story. Media brings us. Manufactured outrage. Obama says the word thingamajig. Conservative blogs explode in outrage.
They're easily peeved over there on the right, aren't they?
They're trying to find something that seems like a gaffe.
Well, they're trying to make it into a racial epithet, I presume.
Oh.
I use the word thingamajig all the time.
Okay.
Why is that a problem?
Because they got nothing. Scott and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Scott.
Hey, Stephanie. I was calling to share a little fun story from downtown Madison. I was just downtown, and Fox News is set up around our state capitol, and they felt the need to hire security guards.
Oh.
They actually have...
Because of all the union thugs.
I believe so. I am apparently one of those union thugs.
Yes.
You know, so much so that I go about my business and do what I need to do. But
yeah, I guess they did that really based on the zero incidents of violence that we've had thus far in all the protests. And
I just can't understand why they feel the need to have security guards and it baffles me. I guess they feel so threatened by what's going to happen here that they apparently, you know, feel the need to hire people to protect their anchors that lie. I have no idea.
Yep, exactly.
It's very interesting here in Madison.
It's almost like they're concerned they'd be considered in some way biased.
Gosh, imagine that. Hey, also, while I have you on the phone, if I may, on behalf of people like myself in Wisconsin, the union thugs and et cetera, we are very thankful for all the support that we've gotten from you at the Sexy Liberal Show, doing your tour here, and all the other progressives out there that are sending, you know, positive vibes and energy our way. We really
appreciate it. You're welcome. You're welcome, honey. We got your badger back. And go get them tomorrow.
Right,
okay?
You.
All right, honey. 45 minutes after the hour, I think we were return with Bender.
I saw him in the window.
Okay, good.
I think I did.
Did you see him looming? Okay.
Yes.
All right, right back on this.
There he is, looming. He's right there. Ha!
Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I'm a bitch. I'm a lover. I'm a child. I'm a mother. I'm a sinner. I'm a saint. I do not feel ashamed.
Sure.
I'm your help. I'm your dream. I'm nothing in between. You know you wouldn't want it any other way.
I actually would. Yeah, pretty much any other way.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour. We have to answer a question first. Robert, my right-wing love muffin in New York. Hi, Robert.
How you doing? I was wondering, why do you feel that this government needs to hold everybody's hand and give them everything? And
No one has said that.
I said that when?
No one has said that on our side.
Listen, you agree with Obamacare, no?
I want to hold your hand.
I don't know
that's
why.
Not
the,
holding,
by,
that's not hand holding.
By the name you call it, I'm guessing that you're not for health care reform.
Listen, I'm for people getting off their butt and going out and making something of themselves, not sitting there and
no Democrats have ever done that.
Listen, everybody is sitting here. It's unbelievable.
You can still be you can be the hardest worker in America and still be without health care. How fair is that?
Listen, you look at every country that has socialized medicine.
Oh,
what happened
on
to them? People are coming.
They prosper.
They get health care.
Yes, it's going really well. It's like healthcare. Germany and Denmark.
Yeah, Norway has a very high.
They don't get bankrupted like most Americans do, but from healthcare costs.
They have a higher standard of living in Norway than they do here.
Yes.
The reason we're bankrupt is because of the regulations.
Just change the subject.
Yeah. Change the subject,
Robert,
when you hear something you don't agree with.
Do you consider Social Security and Medicare handholding?
What about Normandy?
Disqualified. That is not an answer to his Medicare and Social Security.
Normandy? When did we bring up Normandy?
Storming the beaches.
Jingle him in. David Bender, our buddy, our pal.
What about Normandy?
David.
This means a lot, doesn't it, Bender?
Normandy.
I got to get a neck brace for that.
D-Day was a big government project, by the way.
Normandy, is that
you?
Yeah.
Okay, Robin, you've been a very bad boy.
We got to clear the air here.
Hello, David.
I'm driving to the studio.
Yes.
I turn on my radio and I listen to the voice of Stephanie Louise Miller.
Yes.
Saying, my personal Marcus Bachman is coming into
the
studio.
My house husband.
Yeah,
my
your
big gay
Marcus
husband.
Bachman.
You're my big gay husband.
Okay, first off, you'd be better dressed if I were
Marcus
Bachman.
You are a horrible father. Can I just say?
Yes. Talk about it. How I abused the children. I left the baby on top of the car after smoking a bowl.
This is how we're like a wacky 50s sitcom. So David Bender comes to stay with me sometimes and meow, I'm free of my hands. I'm romantic, man. Love you because you're their dad.
I'm their
dog
Marcus
daddy.
Marcus Bachman dad.
Yes. And what did you do yesterday, dear?
Daddy.
Get the laugh track ready. What did you do yesterday at cocktail hour, dear?
Well, June, while you were in the kitchen...
You were rather hard on the beaver.
Clutching your pearls.
No, he wasn't. He didn't come anywhere near the beaver.
I'm the beard, not the beaver. Okay. So what happens is... I think I'm going to be a nice guy. I'm going to take the cheese and crackers and bring them out onto the,
right,
onto the porch.
While Mama showered.
Right.
Yes.
And I won't say why. And all of a sudden, I turn my back for a nanosecond.
Oh.
And
so from upstairs, all I hear is, no! And I was like, David, you didn't leave the cheese on a low table, did you?
Oh, well, maybe.
So I go down with Max, has an entire cheese in his
face. There's a huge face.
He's going to be stopped up for days,
oh,
you know.
She gave them a Pepsi.
A Pepsi AC, both
Pepsi
of them.
AC. Okay. Yeah.
Because
there
that's going to be a long day. Thanks, David.
You're welcome. Wait, right. Who cut that
Did I
cheese?
Tell you what I did, by the way? Speaking of more wackiness, yeah. Did I tell you that one of them was really expensive cheese that I really wanted to try?
Yeah.
So I just
did.
Bought one, and so I actually did take part of it out of Max's mouth and wash it off.
Oh.
I didn't tell you that.
I bore witness to this. No, she didn't tell me. I saw it happen. Chris's
you
face, everybody?
It.
Chris's face.
All right.
I am never eating cheese at your house again.
We've only got a couple of minutes, and I've got breaking news.
It was only
news.
Nod for a minute.
Breaking news.
Yes, David Bender.
Just before coming in, after recovering from being called Marcus Bachman, I checked in with my sources on the ground in Wisconsin.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do not believe what you have heard. This race is closing hourly. It is
awesome.
Independents are going to Barron.
Yay.
Yay.
It is starting to move. This is all about turnout. If turnout exceeds 65%, which is presidential level, there's going to be a recall. Walker's
yes.
out.
Do
wow.
you... Oh. Wow.
You listening,
think,
Wisconsin?
Do you think, listen, our intrepid reporter David Schuster here at Current TV,
among
others, but I mean, do you think some of this, the breaking news about the criminal probe,
well, the
Walker,
the so-called
are playing
John
into some of this?
Doe, yes, it's starting to resonate. Yeah. The trouble with any of that stuff too close to an election is people don't believe it. They think people are making it up because
right.
they're getting inundated. Now, remember, there has been $62 million spent, most
yeah.
of it by and for billionaires for Walker.
That's why it'll be so awesome and stunning if we're able to pull this off.
Also remember, there were 1 million signatures. They only needed 50-some-odd thousand.
Yeah.
They got 1 million signatures. Those
yeah.
people simply have to remember that tomorrow counts. There's been
yeah.
a huge mm-hmm. amount of early voting, but it's all about tomorrow. So if you are within the sound of our voices in Wisconsin, and it's the mic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, the mic, 92.1 FM.
Every single one of you, get out there, bring 10 friends to the polls. This thing is not over,
yep.
despite what the media might want you to believe, because guess
yeah.
what? It's coming from
no,
Fox.
No, I just said that to Jim this morning, you know, because he was like, oh, Walker's ahead. I'm like, don't say that. That's what they want us to do is go, forget it, stay home.
And
it's already over.
Closing, and independents are now going
Good.
To Barrett. So
yeah.
this
wow.
is
yeah.
what needs to happen. There's one other
And if it happens, you know, it's going to be.
It happened because of the sexy
liberals. The sexy liberals tour, exactly.
Right.
I'm already preemptively getting ready to take credit.
I've got to give you one other number, because you were talking about the David Gregory stuff and how they didn't challenge
yes.
Mitt Romney
mm-hmm.
and the jobs and all of it. The only people who can judge whether Romney was any good at creating jobs are the people of Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Right.
When he left, his approval rating was at 39%, 59,
yep.
almost 60%
yep.
of the people. That's why he didn't run again.
Exactly.
They hated him.
Exactly.
Because they saw what he did. So forget about any of these made-up numbers.
Listen,
the people
I called
saw
him
it.
In the morning during Meet the Press to rant, and then I was yep. still ranting by the time you got there at cocktail hour. I was, David Gregory, that... Master, why doesn't he even know anything?
Why do you think I left the cheese out? Just to change the subject.
Oh, God, David Gregory again. Okay.
Who let the cheese out?
Yeah. David, quickly, before you go, and we're going to obviously have you back this week, but speaking of Massachusetts, Elizabeth Warren Scott Brown still deadlocked.
Deadlocked, wow. Absolutely.
What are you thinking?
It is a state that is going to be close. Scott Brown has a lot of personal popularity. But his politics don't reflect the state, and that's what's going to happen. When they
yeah.
see how he has voted, when the campaign really gets started, the contrast could not be more striking. Elizabeth
yeah.
Warren is the right candidate for Massachusetts. I think she's going to win.
Yeah. All right. I know that, you know, the two different polls, one she's ahead, one he's ahead by a hair.
Still early.
Yep, absolutely.
She's got to mention the pink shorts every hour.
Yeah.
The pink patent
yeah.
leather shorts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. So anyway, Wisconsin, turnout.
Tomorrow.
Yes.
Vote.
Go to current.com, by the way. They
right.
have a great spot there.
/ Wisconsin.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you how you can help, even if you are not in Wisconsin. David Bender.
Our buddy, our pal, our cheese-eating friend.
See you back home for cheese.
used cheese.
A little slightly used.
ABC cheese.
This is what I'm left with.
See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.